We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
They all think that they can do the job. Now, if you've ever worked with someone who started in a job and it wasn't right for them for whatever reason, you know that them thinking they can do the job is not always enough.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind the scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, our incredible listeners. It's time for our favorite part of the podcast, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is where we're celebrating you guys, our listeners. You've gone out there, used our advice, used our tips or tricks, and you've got an update for us. Em, this week, our shout out is for Nikita, who bought us 5 coffees. What a legend.
And this Shoot Your Shot shout out is going in the Shoot Your Shot shout out Hall of Fame. It is absolutely epic. So yep. Buckle in.
It is a long one too. So, you know, buckle up.
If you're in a rush, permission to skip ahead, but don't skip ahead because it is so inspiring. So Nikita said, "Dear Emma and Sarah, I wish I found your podcast sooner. I've always hated interviews, so much to the point I avoided them at all costs. I told myself all the myths you guys have debunked, that I wasn't good at selling myself, and I would just spill a laundry list of my tasks rather than an engaging best bit story. I made it to 30 years old without having to change this, but after a year's career break, my old trick of just getting hired based on connections or previous employers was no longer working. I had to start interviewing. No, I hated this so much. And I left every interview knowing I could have done better and knew if I could just somehow explain how great I am, they would love me. I had great experience as an EA, so I always got put in for an interview. But once in that room, whatever amazing impression of me they had melted away as I rambled and completely blanked. I must have gone through about 5 interviews. Then I finally got a contract at an impressive PE firm." Sarah, what the hell is that?
Private equity.
What does that mean?
Like money people, people who buy businesses and sell them and
ooh, fancy. Okay, yeah. Finally got an impressive PE firm, which was great. I did what anyone would do when you start a new job and have access to the person's inbox that you're covering for. Search your name to understand why you were hired.
This is bold. I love that.
Name something that feels illegal. You went snooping. This is giving checking your boyfriend's phone when he goes to sleep.
Yeah, like when you start in HR and you read your own file or like you read your own interview notes or whatever. Yeah, totally.
Crazy. Okay, so I was devastated. I wasn't the first choice or second choice. I was third. The first person had to randomly leave the country. The recruiter then suggested me next since they'd already interviewed me, but they asked for more options. Ouch, as I wasn't a culture fit. What? They did more interviews and the recruiter, I will directly quote, kept me warm. They found their second choice.
I love thinking about how weird the kept me warm would sound. Like that's a perfectly normal thing to say in recruitment world, but I guess it's weird to hear it about yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's when she kept calling me, keeping, you know, saying, oh, I haven't heard yet.
Stringing me along. Yeah. They found their second choice who then got a full-time job. So with the deadline to cover the leave fast approaching, they were forced to move forward with me. Fast forward to the end of those 3 weeks, every person in that office loved me and said they would hire me if they were able to. The girl I covered for sent me a lovely message when she returned saying how impressed everyone was with me and how much easier I made her life upon returning. Proof that how you do in an interview does not indicate how you'll perform in the role. I'm going to say that again. Proof that how you do in an interview does not indicate how you'll perform in the role. This made me motivated to learn why I could impress everyone so much in 3 weeks, but not in 30 minutes. I searched Interview in Spotify and found your podcast. I listened every single day to almost every episode. It completely transformed the way I saw interviews. The best bits advice was the light bulb moment I needed. My next interview, I got the job. I did it, the dream job. Global PE firm, health insurance, great benefits and salary. This was huge. I did everything you said in the podcasts and it worked. I planned on sending you an email. I was so grateful because I'll never have to interview again. Then, my first day, I hated it. It was awful. No culture. My manager was horrible and I knew I couldn't stay.
One day.
I remember being so happy to never need your podcast again. But after my first day, I listened to it on the train home. I was so deflated. I listened to your episodes about a micromanager and how to survive somewhere you hate. You guys were my besties through this as I felt like I was being sent back to war or something, anticipating I would have to go through more interviews to leave this workplace. After 3 weeks of hell, I was offered an amazing new role, a lovely Australian firm, a pay rise, and a down-to-earth boss. I had to go through 5 rounds of interviews for this job. I'm so grateful for your multiple rounds episode, as when I realized I could use the same examples for all the different people I was meeting, I was so relieved. The HR manager praised how well I articulated my experience. What a contrast from 2 months ago. So I'm now 1 week into the amazing new job and I'm so grateful for your podcast as it got me through 3 months of job searching. I've learned that the big fancy global name doesn't mean you'll love it and that interviews are such an important skill to master so you can leave toxic jobs. You guys kept me positive and laughing at your uncoordinated breathing. And in one episode, you said, shoot you out instead of shoot your shot. And I laughed so hard on the bus. I recommend you to everyone and wish you all the success. I might occasionally listen as I feel like I miss hearing from you guys every day in my headphones. Thank you so much.
I love that she said, I was so glad I didn't have to listen to the podcast anymore. And I'm not even taking offense to that at all because I'd felt the excitement of like, yes, I get to just not have to do this anymore. And I think you can love our podcast, but also feel really excited to like not need it anymore. Like you've graduated. I think that's great. I'm in support of that energy.
Sis was ready to fly the nest and then she got rudely yanked back into the nest by the mother bird and she got licked on the forehead.
What? That was weird.
Well, I don't know. What do mum birds do? Like
pecked?
Like wouldn't they...
Kicked?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Again. She got...
I don't know what you're trying to say. She got kicked out of the nest or, and then brought back in? I don't know.
No. Like, you get back here. Like,
oh, like pulled like as a kitten, like pulled by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah.
I don't know what birds do. I'm not sure.
She was ready to fly the nest and she got rudely dragged back in. It's the best. And this is so powerful because... we all like to think we're going to stay in our jobs for a long time. You might not want to be the person that hops around constantly, but life is unpredictable. You never know if redundancy, a toxic boss, the cost of living is around the corner and you might need to find yourself job hunting again.
And having that skill, instead of feeling like I need to avoid doing interviews because I'm so bad at them, like imagine all the freedom that that opens up. Like imagine that there's a promotion or a transfer that she can go for in this new company, knowing that, you know, I don't get the sense that she suddenly loves interviews. You don't have to, but knowing that you don't like them, but you know you can now. Like that's, there's so much power in that. And how wild is finding out that you were the backup last resort where the recruiter basically had to force them to hire you. And if they had more time, they wouldn't have hired you, basically. If there wasn't a time crunch, she wouldn't have started there.
Such a powerful message, because she realized, I can impress these people, just not in the interview window. And it's not as if it took her 6 months of working there to impress people. It was a really short time, which means she wasn't doing herself justice in the interviews, which is the biggest travesty.
Yes, it is. Like, I bet in the first day, people already had to reconsider what they thought about her. Like, if you can impress people in a day or a week, then I know you can impress them in the interview. We just need to get you the skills. I absolutely love, love, love this story and this message, because I think it goes to the I got the job messages are always incredible. Always, always, always. But there's something really cool about she got the values and the overall vibes from the podcast, like the cool company not being so cool, like all of the messages. The freedom with your career of having this skill, I just love it. It's incredible. And I'm just so grateful that we get messages like this.
Shout out to the Aussie company for being the epic company that came in and saved the day from the toxic company. We love it.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, if you want results like Nikita and you need a little bit of help to get there, you can check out Sarah's one-on-one interview coaching sessions. Sarah works full-time for Interview Boss, so she has a lot of availability. She's got no 9-to-5 holding her back, so you can jump online, browse her session times. If you need help immediately and you need broad help, not specific help, Interview Academy might be perfect for you. You can get immediate access. Your hand will be held through every single step into bite-sized pieces if you're totally overwhelmed.
Yep. The beauty in Interview Academy is really in the lessons, the worksheets, the activities. It's broken down. Best Bits becomes like 4 or 5 different activities to get you to get them to an incredible place where they're structured and prepared and the best stories. I am very proud of the results that it's getting. And if you want to work out which one's right for you, go check it out. interviewboss.com.au/coaching.
As always, if you liked one of our episodes, used a tip that we sent you, or want to request an episode specifically on your conundrum, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and we could dedicate a whole episode to you, which is what we're doing this week for Jason. He said, "Hi, I love the pod and appreciate you both so much. What's going on when a job position is reposted while I'm waiting to hear back? I'm qualified and I applied early for it. I would have to be a strong 3 or 4. Is it because they don't have enough qualified people to interview? I appreciate your help on this one, because here I am eager to share with them how I can make a difference on day one and they're continuing to look elsewhere. Much appreciated."
This comes up a lot. Have you heard this from people, Em, or have you seen it?
Yes. I've heard of people actually getting knocked back and then the job ad gets reposted. And that makes a little more sense. But I guess when you're still waiting to hear back, that's when it seems a little more confusing, because you're still kind of in the race.
Yep. Totally. And I kind of got the sense from Jason that he hadn't interviewed or anything yet. He'd only just kind of applied. So that's kind of what I'm basing this on. But I also think that this applies even if you have interviewed and maybe didn't get the job, or you still haven't heard. All of those different scenarios are why they might be reposting at any kind of stage of the process. So I kind of think, in terms of reasons, why are they doing this? We love a bit of a behind the scenes, right? I think a lot of the advice of what you should do, it really, really helps to know the context and what might be going on, because I think it helps you trust me when I tell you what to do, because you understand how that fits in. So I think there's two broad categories of thing that could be happening. One is that I would kind of consider it like kind of bad practice, bad recruiting, hiring practice, or there's some circumstantial stuff going on. Basically, it's not you, it's them. This is the first bucket of things that might be going on. It's just got actually nothing to do with you, and it's just got everything to do with them. So let's break that down a little bit. The manager might just want more options. We've talked about that before, right? Like where, oh yeah, we've got a few, but I just want to see more. Like, why haven't we got more? Maybe we could repost the ad. Like, managers are notorious for this. And the recruiter's like, but what about we interview these people that have already applied? And they're like, I don't know. I just want more. Haven't we got anyone from this company? Like, you know, sometimes that's what they're asking for.
What about the old lazy repost? Maybe it's just lapsed and they just think, meh, we'll hit that again, see what happens.
Yeah, it's just something that's been reposted because they haven't gotten around to it yet. They haven't actually looked at any of the candidates yet. And they're like, oh, well, I don't want to close it. I don't even know who's really applied yet. I've been working on these other roles. I've been really busy. The ad's nearly about to expire. I'll just hit repost. Like, it's just they've hit refresh to just have more people coming in.
Also, maybe if they're hiring for more than one role, they want to get a greater pool of candidates.
Yeah, totally. I think sometimes this isn't relevant depending on the company, but occasionally, like, certain companies will hire for similar types of roles over and over and over again, and they might be different projects or different teams or different locations or whatever, but it's like, hey, this engineering company, guess what? They need heaps of different engineers. And so this ad worked really well, and they've got a potential new role coming up in a different area, but instead of waiting and writing an ad specific for that new job, they just kind of repost this one because it worked, and they just always want to have an ad out there because they're always looking for engineers. Like, in those types of companies, actually kind of best practice recruitment wise is you always want to have an ad out there. Like, if you always need great engineers because you're an engineering company, you don't want to ever have a point in time where there's no active jobs on your website because you're like, we're literally always looking. So even if I can't make it so that the exact job is advertised that's actually open because things are moving all the time, at least I have an ad out there, and then they can call me and I can chat to them and we can just always have something out there. So that could be going on. There might be more than one opportunity and they just want to make sure that they're constantly advertising. Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy.
Completely unrelated, but when you started talking about engineers, this reminded me, did you know that Antarctica is currently hiring and you can get paid double what you normally would in Australia for a range of jobs, particularly tradies? And I've never been more tempted to pop over to Antarctica and work with some polar bears in my life.
This is funny. I thought of Antarctica the other day because I did a hike here in Queenstown and it's up to a lake. And during the summertime, it's meant to be really beautiful. But in spring, it's still like as if it was a snowfield because snowfields only closed 2 weeks ago. So basically, it's a hike up a downhill skiing route, like you're walking past the chairlifts that aren't operating. Anyway, I had the thought pop into my head, oh, now I know how Robert Falcon Scott felt. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. I learned about Robert Falcon Scott maybe in like year three. And for some reason, I just developed an infatuation for his pioneering. And I came home and told everyone I know about Robert Falcon Scott.
Do you remember what you said though?
No.
I'm going to reveal. So Em and I have quite a big age gap. For those who don't know, fun fact, it's 8 years. So when you were in year three, like I was quite a lot older than that. So like you had this long period where you were like still really young and it was kind of really funny. Anyway, you said something, something Robert Falcon Scott. He was the founder of Antarctica. And I went, the founder? What do you mean the founder? And you went, he found it.
Well, true, is it not?
I think it is. I think he is the founder.
I've just Googled. He was a British Royal Navy officer and explorer who led two expeditions to the Antarctic regions. Oh, the Terra Nova. This is all coming back to me. And he died. What happened?
I don't know. But I've Googled it before and I've been like, yeah, it is. So I have in my head now, if anyone ever asks me.
Oh, they made it, but on the return, a planned meeting with supporting dog teams from the base camp failed despite his written instructions, and they all died. But they had in their possession the first fossils.
He was the founder.
Go Robert Falcon Scott. Yep. Great job.
Fun fact.
Anyway, yes. So they might have requirements for the job that they realized aren't in the ad. So they've tweaked it and have re-uploaded.
Yeah, exactly. That could be one of the reasons that they're kind of reposting.
This happened at my work recently. We were hiring for a social media kind of person, but the manager wanted to make it clear that there would be a lot of video involved, so editing videos and stuff like that. So they kind of titled it something that was like kind of like videographer or whatever, and they ended up getting a lot of like actual camera people, like TV, film operators applying.
Wrong kind of category. And they're like, oh, it's not working. Yeah.
And they were like, oh, clearly this was us. So they had to delete it, repost it to make it clearer that it will be iPhone footage, not documentary footage.
Yeah. We don't need you to know, you know, all your ISO settings and stuff. Just whipping out an iPhone is fine. So they could have even like needed to repost it in a different category. Like maybe something was wrong there. Like that could absolutely have been a factor as well. I'm not saying that this is all the time. I'm just, these are all different things that actually have happened that I have seen or know about or have done myself. They are real. Now, the next one, maybe the people that applied originally, some of them aren't available anymore and they need fresh applications. So typically, like for a lot of platforms, when you post a job ad, it'll go up for 30 days or like 4 weeks, something like that. And it'll automatically expire at the end of that period. So if you posted the ad and you've only just at the end of the 4 weeks started looking at the applications, some of those people might have applied 4 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. And so a lot can happen in that time. And maybe the first couple of people they called, oh, sorry, I'm no longer looking. And they're like, oh, shit, we're going to have fresh applications. So before they've even finished looking through, they put out a new ad to be like, oh, it is kind of old. And honestly, we actually heard that happen in our Shoot Your Shot. How good is this? When we were reading it out, I thought this links in perfectly. As we heard from Nikita, she got the job because other people weren't available. So in that circumstance, maybe they would have reposted that ad.
The manager might also say, didn't we get anyone like XYZ?
They might be like, oh, but don't we have anyone that's come from a competitor? Don't we have anyone from government who wants to come into this? Like they just have some stupid idea in their head of exactly this imaginary candidate who they're thinking about. And they're disappointed that they don't have that perfect resume in their inbox. So they might want it reposted for that reason. And another thing about people not being available anymore or kind of needing to refresh the ad, maybe the ad's been posted that whole time. I don't always want to blame the recruiter for not getting around to the applications. Maybe the manager wouldn't make time to review the resumes and they've had resumes sitting in their inbox that they're waiting on feedback for and they'd had, oh, I can't interview them. Oh, I'm going away now. Like they've sat on the resumes for ages and that's one of the other reasons that they're like, oh, we're going to have to repost this now because the few people that I really liked aren't available.
They also might be trying to keep the job fresh, so to speak, at the top of listings. So maybe in week 3 or 4 of hiring, they're still wanting this to be, you know, popping up high in the search engine.
Yep, absolutely. Every platform is a bit different for things like this, but I think it's fairly common to say that, like, you know, even like, honestly, even Jason said, like, I applied early and we suggest that you apply early. It's a great idea. So people might be less likely to apply, even if it's lower on the search listings, just because they can see that it's been posted a little while ago. That is absolutely true. You get less candidates the longer a job sits up there. So maybe it's only been up for 2 weeks, but they're reposting because they want it to be fresh.
They might have also found someone, but then it fell through. Or maybe they also just want a runner-up and a backup candidate.
Yes, this happens all the time. This is kind of like the sniper thing in recruitment. It's not really very good. Best practice speaking, like if I'm an internal recruiter, my job is to fill these roles, but also my job is to make sure that the job isn't vacant. I don't want to just have one person and I'm like, hey, I found the one. And then we're interviewing them. Like I need to have plans for contingency scenarios. What happens if they're not available? What happens if the salary is not right? What happens if a personal thing comes up in their life and they can't accept the job anymore? I need other options. I need backups. I need second candidates. Like that recruiter that we heard about with Nikita, she would never have only just put one person forward because what if something happens? You need a backup. So they might have a front runner and they need a backup. And before you roll your eyes at this and be annoyed that they want a backup candidate, thinking about, you know, if you were the front runner and they're dragging their heels because they need a second, backup candidates get hired all the time. All the time. There's nothing wrong with being second or third. Yeah, totally. Nikita got the job because she was third.
It also could just be a good old fashioned auto repost.
Yep. I've heard people talk about systems that do that.
I feel a lot better hearing all of these because I feel like, wow, these are all kind of like not that deep. They're all just like, oh, we just figured, why not? And then here's someone like turning themselves in knots because they think that they're like automatically rejected. And it's just like, there's no thought about it. Someone just went, ah, I'll press that button.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so easy when we have no control to get caught up in this idea of like wanting to read the tea leaves and like wanting to consult the magic eight ball, being like, what does it all mean? I don't understand. Like, what are they doing? And honestly, people come and ask us sometimes, hey, Sarah, here's all the stuff that's happened. What's happening? What does that mean? I love the faith that everybody has in me, but like, how the hell am I supposed to know? I don't know this company. I don't know what the hell's going on either. I've got probably no better of an idea than you, but I can tell you stuff like this of like, look, it's probably something behind the scenes. Don't worry too much about it. Now, that all was stuff that it's not you, it's them, but there is another bucket and it could be you. We have to be honest about that. It could be you. Could be the actual candidates who've applied. And that I kind of put that in the bucket of like, they know more than you do. I think we have to kind of be aware that that is genuinely a thing that can happen. And let me explain that a little bit more. Everyone who applies for a job thinks that they can do that job, right? Or they wouldn't have applied. They all think that they can do the job. Now, if you've ever worked with someone who started in a job and it wasn't right for them for whatever reason, you know that them thinking they can do the job is not always enough.
The amount of people I've trained recently who have come in guns blazing, so overconfident, don't take any notes, just have no care to the effort I'm trying to go to prepare them for the hell that is about to break loose when they start their first shift. And then I have to just surrender and go, all right, we'll just see.
Because you know what it actually takes, and they think that they know what it takes, but they don't really, because you're like, you're asking them questions going, but what are you going to do in this scenario? And they're like, oh, well, I'll work it out. Like, they're really solid confident.
It's a situation of they don't even know what they don't even know.
Yes.
And I've had to sit back and just be like, all right, let's see how this goes. Sure enough, their first shift rolls around. It's a disaster. And then they end up not wanting to do it anymore.
Yes. I think everyone can relate to this when you're in the job and you've seen someone come in and you're like, oh, they're not prepared for this for whatever reason. And I just want us to keep in mind that that could be us. And it's not necessarily fully your fault. I'm not saying that people are being delusional thinking they could do this job. There just might be other things on the other side of that job that you're not aware of. And they're using that as criteria to look through who they're looking for. For example, maybe you're starting in a team that they don't have a manager at the moment. So you're coming in, no support. And so if you're even a little bit stepping up into this job, it's really not going to work because like you have no support. There is no one else who can really help you with anything. Your colleagues are going to have to train you with stuff. You've got no one to go to. You're going to be flying on your own. In that circumstance, you being like a 3 or a 4, as you said, that's not going to be enough, is it?
And my example before was very niche. And I'm not suggesting that thinking you can do the job comes from a place of overconfidence or cockiness. You may genuinely be really aligned on paper and think, yeah, this is great. There can be other little nuances, like you said, that are just behind the scenes things that you don't know. Just disclaimer.
For some reason, it's so much easier to understand that when you're thinking about jobs that you've had before versus being on the candidate side. Because again, you don't know what you don't know about that job. And to be honest, again, I kind of think this links back to the bad recruiting stuff, because why wouldn't they have written the ad properly so that that was clearer, so that people would be self-selecting a little bit more and they're putting more detail in about what's actually involved? Yeah, I really think that we don't do enough work on that. And one day, maybe I'm going to teach people how to write better job ads, because it's a travesty, honestly, how badly things are described. But moving on, when Jason talked about being in bucket 4, I think he said, I'm a 3 or a 4. I wonder if he's talking about out of 5 in terms of stars kind of thing. I want to take everyone back to the example that we gave in our episode about being put off by large numbers of applications. Mike Pedito did a really excellent LinkedIn post about the buckets that candidates kind of fall into. And we talk about that on that episode and explain it. And most people who are qualified for the job fall into bucket 3. And probably, by the sounds of it, that's where Jason falls as well, where he's qualified, he matches the job. But they are looking for someone in bucket four, which is exact job at another company, all the desirable criteria. And they're holding out for someone like that. And so that's why they're reposting, because everyone else is bucket three. They match, but they want the perfect person who can just slot in, instantly do all those things. And again, it's kind of their right to choose that's what they want, right? Like, you can say, I could do it, but it's up to them whether they want that or not.
We will never know the kind of exact person and skills they're targeting. We have the job ad, but what's not written on the job ad is the exact type of person, situation. So we can't control that.
And they maybe have preferences about the industry or the, like, the type of clients you've worked with. Like, there can be all these little things that, yeah, you've got the same experience, but this person has XYZ that's really important to us. Like, there's so many things that may not be written on the ad that they could be kind of screening for. Now, the last thing, and I deliberately kind of put this last because I don't think that this is the most common thing. I think it's literally everything else we've talked about. It's situational. There's all this other stuff. But the last thing I would get someone to check is your resume clear? Can you imagine how devastating it would be that you, if you did your resume really, really well, you would be a bucket four, but you didn't. And so they can't really tell. And so you're a bucket three, where you're just like, oh yeah, you meet, but I'm not excited. Isn't that tragic? Like, I think most people think, oh yeah, my resume's done. Well, I think most people would benefit from going back and having a look at what's actually in there. Go to our episode about rewriting your bullet points. And if you listen to that and you think, no, mine are good, then cool, move on. But if you go and listen to that and you realize, oh, hold on, maybe my bullet points aren't good enough. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe if a stranger is looking at that document, they can't really tell what you're capable of.
Yeah. Now, what we can do? Not a lot.
Yeah, it is not a lot, really.
But we can follow up with the recruiter or hiring manager, check in.
Now, that kind of mainly is relevant for someone who's already had a conversation or connection with one of those people. If you've just applied, I just don't think this is going to really get you anywhere. You can try, you can email them, be like, oh, I was just wondering how things are going. But it's just so much harder to actually get a response. You are one of X amount of candidates. Like, if you've had a conversation with them though, hey, we spoke about this role, it was a little while ago, I've seen the roles being reposted, I just wanted to know, is the hiring still happening? Whatever. I think that works. If you want to, you can apply again. Now, you might not be able to apply again because in their back-end system, if they've just reposted the job again on the same back-end vacancy, if that makes sense, their recruitment system is going to be like, but you're already in here. You can't apply again. You've already applied. Does that make sense? Even though it's a fresh ad, it's attached to the same container of applications. So it might not let you, just a heads up, but if it is a fresh post and a fresh job, maybe you can apply again. I think there's nothing wrong with applying again.
And lastly, the last thing that you can do is nothing.
Yeah.
Relinquish control, shift your focus to something else, apply for another job, keep trucking.
I know. This is the thing that people don't want to hear because they're like, but how can I convince them? But how can I just, if I could just show up and tell them, we have to let those ideas go. It's not helping you. I hate that this is the feeling that people have and they feel so stuck and so trapped, but it's up to them who they hire. And even if they're hiring the wrong person, that's also up to them as well.
Yeah. And also, let's just imagine the other reality, right? Say our advice was like, get in contact with them, do whatever you can. How's that going to look? Quiz them. Well, why was it reposted? You aren't even considering me. I'm the best one. Like, that is not ever going to go down well, even if that was an option. Like, that's not a solution.
And also, like, the follow-up doesn't really address any of the reasons that we have covered.
No, it makes you feel a tiny bit better that you feel like you've done something.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't actually help. It doesn't address any of those things to do with recruitment. The only situation where maybe the follow-up could address one of the reasons that they'd reposted it is that if you had redone your resume after you'd applied, maybe that's the only exception where you're like, hey, I applied already. I noticed you'd reposted it. I just wanted to say I've updated my resume. Here's the new version that better reflects my experience, whatever. That's probably the only scenario that where you're like, it might actually have an impact or you've got something to reach out about. Other than that, apply again if it's a new job, follow up if you have actually got a connection and you've spoken to them. Otherwise, just let it go. They might just be really slow and maybe you're going to hear from them in like 4 weeks' time, but you don't know that. The only thing you can do is move on.
Go forth. Move on. Godspeed.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening, or better yet, send this episode to someone or the show to someone who might benefit from hearing it. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, and some savable behind-the-scenes content, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss and chuck us a follow. Or go check me out on LinkedIn. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.